ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Welcome aboard. We're going to kick off tonight's broadcast, Monday, August 15th, 2022.
Cut this thing off.
An honor to be here tonight with Professor Tom Back and Major Tom Baird. And Major Tom, do you have something running in your background? Like website?
It's on my phone, and I can't use my phone because I've got a baby that's going to be sleeping here, and it makes it too loud.
Well, excuse me. Did I call you on your phone rather than your computer?
Yeah.
Oh, my mistake. I dialed the wrong Skype. Okay. I'm going to call you back, and if you get called on your phone, do not answer. Okay, hold on.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I'm not sure what I did there.
Oh, I get it turned around once in a while, too.
Well, I've got two Skype for them, and so I think I dialed the wrong one. Okay, I've got another one here. I'm sorry about that. He did sound a little different in audio quality. I should have picked up on that. Okay. Here we go. Let's try this. And if this works, I'm going to delete the other one. Or actually, I just rename it.
Yeah.
I'll keep it as a backup.
Yeah, in case we live in perilous times.
That's right. Brother Bear?
There we are.
Listen, you know
yes.
what?
Yes.
I've got two Skypes for you, so I dialed the wrong one, but I'll relabel them right now. Hey, you sound much better anyway. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Yeah, I'm doing fairly well, thank you. I hear you 5x5.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to jump in, and tonight we're right on a tight schedule, so I'm not going to delay anymore. Gentlemen, welcome aboard. Did we open up in prayer yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Why don't we start there? And who would like to do the honor? And then the mic is you, gentlemen.
All right. I'll do that. This is Major Tom Baird. Let's pause for a moment to go before our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask right now that you be with us, that the meditation of our hearts and the words upon our lips will be acceptable unto you, O God, and be those words that will edify and prepare and help each of us in these times of trouble. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for opening our eyes and helping us and guiding us all the way each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Gentlemen, over to you, Brother Mac.
Okay. Today, I decided we needed to talk about the mark of the beast. You know, we've sort of discussed it in passing in the past programs. Well, tonight, we're not going to discuss it in passing. We're going to discuss it in a little bit of detail. And we're actually going to do some math to figure out the mark of the beast. Because we've started to see it, and it's affecting a lot of people. But the goal, what the devil wants, is this 144,000 that he mentions in both Revelation 7 and then again in Revelation 14. Interesting, the chapters match and are divisible by 7. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim. This is Revelation chapter 7, verse 2. Having the seal of the living Elohim. What's he going to do with that? And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Remember, we've seen the disasters that have come, the trumpets. But before it can be hurt further, we got to do something. We have to protect the servants of our Elohim. And what does this angel say? Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their foreheads. And I wanted to point out tonight that we are borrowing some ideas from a book by William Kinney called A Beautiful Delusion. We've also borrowed some ideas from a presentation by attorney Stephen Pidgeon. And I put a link in our PowerPoint tonight so that you can listen to him as well. He's got a lot of good material. He just has more time. What is seal? You know, we've talked about these things. What does it say, the Bible say, seal means? And we see it as a signet. But many times, we see it a lot more as an impressed stamp that certifies the genuineness of an item. For example, you see genuine Microsoft. They're really, really picky about who uses their software. And you just go to your system section and you'll see a thing there that says, this is genuine Microsoft software. But we also see seals on food products and even wine or liquors to let you know this is the real stuff and not some junk. We see little signets to say, this is GMO free. And so there's a seal is a signet that the angel is going to put on the 144,000 to certify to the rest of the spirit world who belongs to Yahuwah. Let's go to Revelation 14, verses 2 through 4. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of katharis playing their kithara. Now, why would I use the Greek words there? In English, it got translated harp, and that's not the right translation. It's guitarists playing on their guitars. As some people would joke, you got a couple axes and a Stratocaster. Okay. I know that's bad. The Gibson people are going to be mad at me now. But yes, I do like Les Paul as well. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and unto the Lamb. But I wanted to stop for a minute. Some people say, oh, I'm married, I'm defiled. No, you're not. The word there is meta, which means around or among. The translation with was proper in the 17th century because in that century there were no sexual connotations. Unfortunately, those connotations were added by preachers starting in the 20th century. And it's more likely to mean after, which is how the word gets translated 88 out of 120 times. This is the only time the word with is used. So what does that mean? It means you could be part of the 144,000 and be married. Because the book of Hebrews makes it very, very clear. The marriage bed is undefiled. Whatever you do with your spouse and your bed in the bonds of marital matrimony, that is not
permissible.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to think of it a different way. You can't be defiled when you're properly married. And that's something that I don't think
that's
a lot
good.
Of people get. And the interesting thing, though, I'm going to put it up here and then put it on the shelf. What is so important about the number 144,000? Well, first off, I'm going to make a mathematical breakdown. 144,000 is 2 to the 7th power times 3 to the 2nd power times 5 to the 3rd power. If you notice real fast, that's the first four prime numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of you who don't know exponent notation, 2 to the 7th power is the same as 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. Basically, you're multiplying 2 by itself 7 times, and you get 128. 3 to the 2nd power is 3 times 3, or 9. And 5 to the 3rd power is 5 times 5 times 5, or 125. So, one of the things to understand is stronger substances are built on lower prime numbers. So,
yeah, it's also interesting, and you may be getting into this with Dr. Pigeon's presentation later, but he brings out the fact that our DNA also comes out to equal 144,000.
Yes, we will find that out, because this 144,000, the devil hates it. Ancient evil hates it even more. And, well, what is our body? It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We've heard preachers say, quote 1 Corinthians 6:19, for years. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? The Holy Spirit is within you.
Amen.
And the devil hates it. And the Greek word is naos. It's a dwelling of deity used figuratively of individuals. So, what would the devil prefer to do? He would prefer to inhabit or invade the temple of our body. And what is he trying to do with everything he's doing? He is trying to inhabit our temple. Ancient evil's goal is to sit in the temple of Yahuwah's creation and make himself the Elohim of it. Is he accomplishing that task? Boy, oh boy. We have here Dr. Jason W. Chin. He's a researcher at the Scripps Research Institute in Cambridge, England. And in a 2010 paper, he announced a breakthrough. He was able to create a triple helix as the new molecule of life. Well, why on earth would you want a triple helix? Isn't the double helix good enough? Well, not if you want to control people.
Yeah. If you want to be godly, it is. But if you don't want to be godly, it isn't.
So what he has done, he has taken and stuffed in another 72,000 genes so that we now suddenly have a triple helix.
Yeah, maybe I can help a little bit here too. You have to remember that our DNA is made up of a double helix with one side going up and the other side going down. They have bonding points, and you won't remember those bonding points, but it's adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. And you end up, when you do that, these double helixes, then one's going one direction, say north, and then the other one is going the other direction, say south. And they match up with each other and twist around each other in a helix. This then becomes your genetic makeup. And it turns out that you have 72,000 parts of the gene going up and 72,000 coming down. And when those two match, it gives you your shade of color of eye. It gives you your hair, every feature of you it gives. It's a blueprint of who you look like physically. And it's important because, as you can see already, it's a very perfect number. God makes things perfect when he makes them. And by having a double helix, if God wants to know whether you are genetically still pure before him, all he has to do is look at one of your cells, and he can smell it, because it has its own odor, a sweet smelling aroma, by the way, for God. Now, Satan has inspired a man, demonically, I might add, to add an additional helix to make it a triple helix. And they found a way that they can then cause that single strand to match up with the others, and it immediately corrupts your bodily makeup. All over your whole body, every cell changes. It replicates itself so that every cell has this new version of you, and you more than likely no longer have a soul. Go ahead.
Well, let's ask the next question. How are we going to get this third helix into people? And the answer is messenger RNA or mRNA.
That's right.
And basically what they can do is they can send in instructions. I put the definition from the Human Genome Project our government's doing. By the way, they just changed this definition the other day.
By the way, you know you're supposed to be getting a vaccination, so-called. But when they first came out with it, they said it's a genetic manipulation. Guess what? You are receiving that third DNA strand in that particular substance that you've just been injected with. Go ahead.
And I just repeated it just straight from what they had into here, just for everybody to read.
Oh, good. Okay, I see it.
So we can do that. And then, here's the interesting thing. We get a triple helix. What's that number going to be? We know that 144,000 is the number of the people that are going to be on the face of the earth at the end time, but let's let's look at this. We're going to look at this scripture a couple of times. Revelation 13, 17 and 18. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding. The King James uses the word count, but in the Greek it says calculate, the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is chi, psi, stigma. And the Greek numeric values are 660 and 6. So, let's look at it. Sophizo is the Greek word. But it means one to count with pebbles. Because in ancient times, that's how people did their math. They counted with pebbles. Or it also can refer to voting. And everybody can cast either a black pebble or a white pebble into an urn. And at the end, whoever has the most pebbles decides the issue. But the main one that sort of got lost with most translators is to calculate. Because in the ancient times, it was very hard to calculate. We'll explain here in a minute. Because in the Middle East, in the first century, our modern mathematics did not exist except in a very few places. Egypt came up with some rather high math, and we're starting to discover just how much they knew. Babylon had an interesting mathematical system. And we know that Daniel had the capability to calculate a lot of things. Wouldn't surprise me if I could go back there and he'd start doing a calculus function for me. And mm-hmm. I'd say, you're not supposed to know that. I thought Descartes discovered that. No, it's actually been around a long time. And what's even more interesting, multiplication as we knew it didn't exist until the Middle Ages. You just counted your groups of sheep. If you want to know how many sheep you had and six of them are black and six of them are white, you just said, well, 6 plus 6. But if you had green sheep and there are six of them, you'd go through and count out all 18. You wouldn't think to use a multiplication table. However, in China and India, they did start using multiplication tables to handle large calculations. If you had to multiply 300 by 241, well, you'd go get out the tables. But
and that's what your that actually is what your Abacus is made is patterned after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've known even Russians will tell me that they still trust the Abacus over the calculator.
Mm-hmm.
But modern mathematics didn't come to the West until about the 14th century. A guy by the name of Leonardo Fibonacci brought a modern accounting system. He's the father of modern accounting. And he also brought an Indian number system with him to Pisa, which I made a mistake here. That's in Italy, not India. Now in Italy. Sometimes when you get old, you forget things. But with Indian numbers that we use today, calculation got a lot easier. And you get about 2 centuries in, and suddenly arithmetic is not a problem. Algebra is not a problem. We're rediscovering geometry, which was last touched by the Greeks and by the Romans. We're studying calculus. And even in the last couple of centuries, we're studying probability theory. Suddenly, I can walk into a gambling casino and tell you exactly what your odds are in every game on that in that casino. And I can tell you why you're going to lose to the house every time. Because of the numbers we use, we are now able to do all this. And it also became the basis for modern computing. And I didn't put that in there. Probably should. So, okay, Professor Mack, let's do some calculating. Well, let's see. The first one is addition. Everybody's gotten that down. 600 plus 60 plus 6 equals 666. Great. We've been studying everything about 666 that we can find. Almost every pope imaginable somehow adds up to 666. And then there's alternative 2, subtraction. Let's start with 600, subtract 60, and subtract 6. We come up with 534. Interesting frequency in music, but not doing anything for me. The alternative 3, and our ancients really had a problem with this one, and so do kids in school to this day. Long division. Divide 600 by 60, and you get 10. Divide 10 into 6, and you get 1.6 into infinity. Interesting, but I don't know how it relates. If some of you have ideas, please email me and tell me. But the fourth alternative, multiplication. As I said, multiplication. When John Mark wrote Revelation 13:18, I'm sure he looked at our Heavenly Father and said, "Are you kidding me? You want me to multiply three numbers? That'll take me years." I'm sure our Heavenly Father reassured him, "Don't worry, it isn't going to matter now, but it'll matter later. Just like toxin, just trust me." Well, we add up 600 times 60 times 6, and we get a number, 216,000. Gee whiz, when you take the triple helix, which is 216,000, so many scientific papers have used this number, it's not disputable. Divide it by 3, you get 72,000. The number of genes in one strand of DNA. Well, they got some scripture to support their idea of a threefold gene structure. Ecclesiastes 4:12. "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Boy, oh boy. Now let's go back and look. Let's go back and look at Revelation 13. I'm not going to read it again. But remember, the triple helix is introduced to human beings via the jab. I'm going to use that word here because I don't want to get Shannon in trouble. And the jab contains the mRNA that starts the conversion of the human being into a modified form. But exactly what is that modified form? If you break down 144,000 genes, you get three numbers, as we mentioned earlier, 2 to the 7th power, 3 to the 2nd power, and 5 to the third power. But when you slap on a third helix of 72,000, an interesting change takes place. You still have the three basic prime numbers, but it's 2 to the 6th power, 3 to the 3rd power, and 5 to the 3rd power remains the same. What's happening here? You have man trying to be Elohim. Gee, where did I hear that before? Isn't that the line that the serpent gave Eve in the Garden of Eden? That she'll be like gods, knowing good and evil? Oh boy. The messes we get ourselves into sometimes. And what we have, though, is we now have created an unstable system. 2 to the 6th power is not stable, because 6 can be broken down, whereas 7 cannot. 3 to the 3rd power is an attempt for man to become God, and that's what a lot of these guys want to do. They want to be God, and they don't need this guy in heaven. Well, they're going to find out other things. And people, I know, are starting to ask, what's this idea of modifying the human genome? Has it ever been proposed before? Actually, it's been proposed a couple of times. There are many, in fact, many movies and TV shows have found ways to modify human beings so that they can be used for some kind of a nefarious purpose. But tonight, we've talked about him before. We're going to talk about Quatermass for a minute. It was a show put out by British movie maker ITV and later by Hammer Films. And what happens, first they put it out as a movie serial, but later they just put it out as a single movie. And in this, aliens from outer space found a way, or they realized that their own world was blowing up, so they needed to come somewhere else. And Earth was their place. And so what do? They come here, they set up a factory of their own to start creating food so that their beings can come to Earth. It's called synthetic food, by the way. So when somebody's talking to you about synthetic food, be very careful. Where have I been hearing about synthetic food made from bugs? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's scriptural, because we're not supposed to eat most of those things. So, but what happens? They start infecting human beings so that they suddenly are starting to do the will of these aliens. They're obviously more advanced than we are. And if it isn't for Professor Quatermass, I guess what would the world come to? And once again, in 1979, the last time we see a Quatermass movie, or at least in the original strain, they did do one in 2005, but it was a repeat of the original. And in this one, we have Bernard Quatermass happily retired in Scotland, but suddenly his granddaughter runs off and goes off after her. he comes to London because a TV show wants to interview him. Now, he suddenly finds himself in the middle of yet another alien invasion. And suddenly, when a man, and I would venture to say that Bernard Quatermass at this point was Major Baird's aide. And I don't think Major Baird would be happy about having to go back and command a unit in the Army. But if it came to it, I'm sure he would.
I do it to my dying breath, which might not be very far afterwards.
By the way, folks, if you're just joining us tonight, welcome aboard. This is a live show here on Monday, August 15th, 2022. We've got here with us tonight Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird. We're doing a full marathon tonight. Gentlemen, we got about 20 minutes left for the show. I'm going to give it back to you. Continue on, please.
Okay, well, I'm hoping, because one of the things, I didn't make this real long, because I'm hoping that if you have some questions, because, you know, I'm always, when I do shows like this, or when we try to put something together, we have a problem. What if you've already taken the vax? Is there any hope? Can you guys come up with any scripture that might give us some hope?
Well, I'll tell you this much, gentlemen. I think it's a slippery slope right into the mark of the beast. I mean, look at what has been forced on the populace. Okay, these experimental drugs, we know that. They won't stop you from getting the flu. They won't stop you from transmitting it. It will, they say, lessen some of the symptoms, but that's not enough incentive for me to take it. But aside from all that, we decided we're not going to take it. And they didn't stop there. Number one, two, three, they're up to four or five in some countries. And the plan is they're never going to stop this. Many have already died. It's just not worth the risk for me and my family to take it. And bottom line here, though, is knowing that this is part of the agenda to condition people to bow to the mandate, or you can't buy or sell. Now, look, for 2 years I've been locked down here in Bali, cannot fly without having that injection. Just a few weeks ago, light appeared, and a friend of mine said he made a run for Thailand. He didn't take it either. I said, how'd you get out of here? And he said, well, they didn't ask me for it. I said, what are you saying? Everywhere I look, that's the requirement to get in and out of Indonesia. He said, well, I'm telling you, they're not asking for it in Bali, but they did ask me to take a PCR test and a quarantine. So I said, what'd you do? He said, I went to Thailand and came back. I said, well, that's amazing. Good news, because I don't have anybody can come and visit me because they're not taking it either. But bottom line here, I've been telling people who have taken it, don't take it anymore. Stop. Because we know insidious things have been put in this thing. And it could have already cut your life short. If you've taken it, there's prayer. God can touch and heal you.
Mm-hmm.
But don't keep taking because one of these is going to be the point of no return, and it's not worth it to be set up and then end up taking the kill shot for eternity, the mark of the beast. I believe they're going to deliver it in shot form. It's coming, folks. It's a matter of time.
If it hasn't already been here, but what I'm telling you is if you've taken it once, that's the people I'm addressing it to.
Stop the insanity.
There is hope.
Mm-hmm.
There is hope. Let's go to Joel 3. We're going to read four verses, starting with verse 17. So ye shall know that I am Yahuwah, your Elohim, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Remember, it's a holy city. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of Yahuwah, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. And here's the key verse: for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for Yahuwah dwelleth in Zion. We have a promise that our Heavenly Father will cleanse our blood.
Amen.
But one of the things we've done here, and we've had this up for some time, is we've had on the John Van Helsing website and on Alive on the Edge, we have had a deliverance prayer for those who have taken the COVID-19 vaccine or any of its boosters. And my suggestion, A, pray this prayer. And I know Shannon is going to be having some deliverance sessions on the radio in the next few weeks. In fact, when are you going to have some?
We're doing them all the time. Did two already. And so it just depends on which guest is coming on, but we're going to be doing more and more than ever before is my hope.
Okay. I would suggest then for people, if you have taken the vax, pray this prayer. You can pray it a few times. It'll work. But what you want to do after that is call in here and get help. And if we get a few people with COVID calling in, get me online and I'll pray with them.
Well, we can do a special program just for that. Prayer for people that have taken it.
That's interesting. I would be interested to, especially if we could do another one with Rand Ritchie.
Absolutely.
We had a good time that night when we did that. But
we'll set it up.
And I will. And I would tell you also, if anyone wants to copy this, go ahead. If you want to put it on your website, go ahead. And as I said, some of this material comes from Wynn Worley. I want to make that very clear. And also from Dr. J. Marcus Haggard, who was a practicing veterinarian in Yorktown, Indiana for many years.
You know, gentlemen, we're being squeezed from multiple sources right now. We've got the communists who are squeezing everyone that voted for President Trump, including myself and many of you out there that came for him at Mar-a-Lago the other day. I hate to use this word, trumped up charges. I mean, he's not guilty of anything they're accusing him of. And yet everything that the Sodomocrats have done themselves, they're trying to blame Trump for doing, which, I mean, this is just insanity. But one guy said it right the other night. The communist Chinese do not want Trump back in the White House, so they have weaponized their contacts who they've bribed and paid, and they've got embedded in our American government. I really believe that. Many of them are sold out. Then we've got the World Economic Forum, which has their agenda, which probably dovetails or meshes with the communist Chinese, their Great Reset, and they're not going to stop with this agenda to bully the world to keep bowing to their mandates. Just as computer technology doubles in processing power, they said, every 6 months. What do you think's happening with these vaccines? They're refining them even more. They literally want to transform you and I into the image of the beast, changing your God-given DNA. Now, I hope that you took the Chinese Sinovac if you're in Indonesia. But then they began to force people to take the American mRNA version. And one of these days, they're going to release stuff that is going to be the ultimate kill shot. I don't know. This might be a binary weapon. You know, you need one or two or even three to seal your fate. We're not doing it. And, you know, whether you agree with me or not, that's okay. But know that there is a time coming, if we live long enough, that you and I will not be able to buy, sell without taking up with the system. And I'm just getting accustomed to that now. I haven't been able to fly for 2 years, sadly. Now things may be turning and we may be able to move again, but we've been locked down, Brother Tom. I can't even get into some malls unless I want to download their app that tracks me. This is pitiful.
Yep.
That they would even force you to choose between your job or taking an untested experimental vaccine drug. This is just horrible.
Well, actually,
I think vaccine.
Well, it is. And the other thing is that they need the majority of the population to take it because the objective is population reduction. You're marked for death by process right now. In fact, it's biased to anyone whose skin color is brown or black.
You know, we've heard that the Georgia Guidestones called for a reduction down to 500 million. I had another gentleman tell me it's what much worse than that. All they want is 5 million humans left to serve them. Folks, when they're talking about zero carbon emissions, do you know that we exhale carbon? That means every last one of us will have to be dead. Every animal, every human being breathes in oxygen, exhales carbon. I mean, this is just insanity, and we've got insane people, demonized people at the helm of the World Economic Forum. We've got a man in the White House who doesn't even probably know his children's names. They're keeping him propped up on drugs and teleprompters and cue cards. The real question is, who is the cartel behind him running the show? Is it Obama? Is it Susan Rice? Is it the Bushes,
I think it's
the Cheneys?
Somebody deeper than that now.
Is it Satan
himself? I've been hearing reports that suddenly Obama's nowhere to be found.
Why are 87,000 new IRS positions being created? With part of the job description, you must be willing to use deadly force. They're going to weaponize these people, and it'll be like many have warned in the past. Look out for the white van in front of your door. In fact, you won't even see it. They'll come when you're asleep at 4 a.m. Bust down your door, and for what? I thought they've already taken all of our money. I guess they're going to take more. I'm predicting they're going to jump taxes up to 60%. The housing market's going to crash. You bought a $400,000 home with a mortgage. Now it's worth $200,000. The bank still wants you to pay. They're taking everything right now. The biggest transfer of wealth from all of us to the wicked seems to be taking place. I was waiting from the wicked to the righteous, but might have to wait longer because they're getting everything right now, and they're not going to stop there. Why do you need 87,000 IRS agents to go collect taxes?
Well, you know, it's kind of an oxymoron in one respect, because if you keep going around and killing all of your tax subjects, you just lost more tax.
Dear God. I think it's a corporate tax war is what they're going after. This is a war between corporations. And the IRS is getting used to play this game. Because you don't want to kill your taxpayers. You need them.
Well,
but there's a lot of corporations right now not paying very much.
One view is, do they need to collect any taxes at all? Because they don't print paper money, one for $1 in circulation. They can create anything they want. They're literally doing that every day.
But they have to take money out of circulation. Because they know, with all this money printing they've done, they've got to do something to get that money out of circulation. Because if they don't get that money out of the circulation, the dollar collapses and the IRS won't make any difference, and they won't be able to hire anybody because there isn't a dollar to give them.
Well, I think it already has collapsed. American public just doesn't realize that yet, and I think it's a planned collapse.
Yeah.
To bring us into their new money system. I mean, there's so many levels of this. It's hard to sort fact from fiction, but what I see before my very eyes, every time I turn on a news network, is they're demonizing every one of us who voted for President Trump. They're blaming, well, the attack on the FBI is coming from those Trump supporters. They're going for the assumed close that it was Trump who pulled a coup on January 6th. No, it was Pelosi who told the Capitol Police to stand down. It was agent provocateurs wearing Make America Great that infiltrated some peaceful protesters out there that led the run on the Capitol. They're blaming everything on Trump. They've never stopped since he first got elected way back when, blaming him for things that he doesn't do. And you know what? It's all a farce. Even this, he's got classified documents. No, he said they're all unclassified, number one, and I believe him. But if they truly were classified, why would you tell him to keep him months back in a room that's locked? Why didn't you just take him then if you didn't agree with him having certain documents? They left him so they have an excuse to go raid him now just before the primaries. And I hope Cheney loses. That ugly lady looks just like her father with a wig. How wicked that woman is leading the charge. She's a rhino. I finally figured out what that is, Republican in name only. That's what she is. I hope she loses big time tomorrow in Wyoming and she has to go work at Starbucks, because enough's enough. I'm tired of this witch hunt. And I'm saying, dear God, avenge us. Every day, just more insanity. How much more can we take this theft of our
liberties?
Thankfully,
from what I'm hearing, she's in a lot of trouble up there.
I may need to get a
shot. Because, Wyoming is just one state north of us.
Folks, I'm sorry for venting on you, but, I mean, do you get frustrated seeing all this injustice? I mean, when's the insanity going to stop? Dear God, help us all.
When we have a Heavenly Father in charge, that's the only time it's going to end.
I'm saying, Lord,
I wish I could say we could do it, but we can't.
Remember Psalms 1, the last verse. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the ungodly way will perish.
Speaking of perishing, we've got just about 4 minutes. We're about out of time. I want to tell you something that just happened today. Gentlemen, I'm starting to do some daytime broadcast, and I had Gene Schmidt on from Hand of Help Ministries.
Oh, how's he doing?
Well, he's doing good, but I don't know how well we're all doing after I heard what I heard today. And, of course, I want to thank Prophecy Club for all the great work they've done to get the Warnings for America out over the years, and having hosted Dimitri Dudeman and so forth. That's how I learned about Hand of Help. Well, I had Gene Schmidt on, and Gene, he preached for a while, but then he said, just this week, the Holy Spirit spoke in a Romanian church service, something to the effect of, if only the Americans knew what was coming, they would be praying day and night. And then Michael Boldea has seen the second 911 coming. And there's more to it than just those two right there. But if we knew what was coming, we would be praying day and night. They're setting us up for something big here in America. The enemies of this nation. I believe that War on the Saints is coming, and it's not too far now. And folks, I would not put it even past powers that be right now to pull another 911. And they would probably blame it on the Trump supporters. You keep hearing them telegraph, well, we're worried about the nuclear codes. What is the plan next? Detonate a micro nuke in a city? Blame it on Trump and his supporters, and then send these armed agents out to pick up everybody who voted for him on the roster? I wouldn't put it past these communists. We need to pray like never before.
Amen.
I mean, the Holy Spirit warning through the Romanian church, Americans would be praying day and night if they really realize what is coming next. Dear God, have mercy. It's time to go all in for Jesus, or we're not going to make it. I'm here to tell you. Apart from him, we will not make it. This is not a time to be lukewarm anymore. Be hot or cold, because you're not going to make it lukewarm. When the persecution begins to do an uptick, folks, will you fall away and get offended when they come for you and I because of our testimony for Jesus Christ? We need to prepare for that. It's coming. I believe we've entered into a new phase. I really do. Warn the saints and the time of the martyrs. If we live long enough and the Lord doesn't take us first, we're probably going to see that really soon. All these visions of Dimitri Doom and Michael Boldea coming to pass real soon. The second strike, the third strike with the head of America in the mouth of the snake. I'm out of time. I apologize. Gentlemen, final thoughts, and then give me your contact info. And folks, stay tuned. We got a full marathon tonight.
Well, the Lord spoke in another dream from Pastor Coverstone. And in the end, he said, get ready for more than war. And speak the truth at the risk of the sword.
Wow.
Says it all right there.
Folks, we got to go all in. That's why I've made the decision. We're coming back. We've done 40 days straight of broadcast. We're adding day parts. Just doing our part over here. That's all God would ask of us, to do your part. Warn others that you can. Gentlemen, how do people reach your website?
Okay, this is Tom Baird, Major Retired. You can reach me at aliveontheedge.com. And my email is tom@aliveontheedge.com. The second book that I wrote explains a lot of what we're seeing right now. My very first dream occurred four nights in a row. Four is significant. And it was exactly the same every four nights, with Chinese jet planes strafing our, at that point in time, it was our farmstead. So it shows the Lord's had been warning us for all these years. I'm 82 years old now, and that happened approximately 69 or 70 years ago.
What is that book that they can order? Where do they go to get it?
That's
Sharp Edge of the Sword.
Sharp Edge of the Sword.
Get it on Amazon.
Okay.
If you go to Live on the Edge, there's links to go order it.
And Tom, Matt, give me your contact info as well.
Okay. tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. I've got a bunch of websites, BibleCodes.co, BibleMusic.live.
Fantastic.
And I won't give them all for now. We'll recount them someday.
Major Tom, Professor Tom, thank you for coming on today. God bless you both,
thank
folks.
You for having
Sharp
us.
Edge of the Sword, LiveOnTheEdge.com. And we'll see you next time, gentlemen. God bless you both.
God bless you.
Thank you for having us.
Folks, stay tuned. We've got more coming up. We got Prophet Leslie Johnson of the Prophecy Club. Let me set up for that. We'll be right back. Stand by.